Hey, this is Buster Posey. You're listening to Giants Warm Up with Marty Lurie, KMBR 680, the sports leader.
Well, nice to hear from Buster Posey this morning. You got a big, I'm calling it a hit. I don't care. They gave him an error. Ron Wotus joins us. Did they give an error on that ball up the middle?
No. They ruled it a base hit.
Oh, they did give him a hit. Yes. Oh, good. All right. Because, come on, that ball is up the middle. The guy knocks it down, bounces it around, plays ping pong with it. You got to give him a hit.
Difficult play. If you don't get those hits like that at home, when are you ever going to get them? Because they're not really? Going to give it to you on the road.
Really? Hey, well, you know, as I always say, you see something different at the park every day. And the ball that Blanco hit, hits the warning track, and you know we love Greg Elliott. You know, handles his grounds, the grounds group perfectly. But in all my days, I've never seen a ball hit like that and go up a 20-foot wall for a fan to lean over and touch it.
No kidding. I didn't know where the ball went. I mean, I've been in this ballpark since it opened, and when that ball bounced and went up, I thought to myself, first reaction, well, he got stuck in a screen or somewhere in the wall, and I'm going, where the heck could that ball be, and what is the ground rule? Because we don't cover any balls in that area. You go over all the nuances of the ballpark, you know, the metal roof in right field and the wall, the cars, and ball bouncing in the stands in the right field bullpen and the yellow line, but, you know, not in that area. So when the ball went up, I didn't see the fan reach over and grab it. I know it went up high. But just like Stanton, we were scrambling to say, you know, what happened to that ball?
You know, it's funny you mentioned the ground rules. And you, of course, come out there and talk to the umpires. Do you go over ground rules every day or is it just once in the series?
It's the first day of the series. You go over them. The umpires go over them and make sure the opposing team knows them. Of course, you know, teams in our own division, they usually go through the mundane routine of doing it again. But, you know, shoot, we go to the teams at the parks in our division so much, you really don't need to do it. But the umpires want to make sure that everything is covered, and we do a first day of the series, and then that's it.
Ron Wotus with us on this Sunday morning. What is a typical question that comes up when teams come in to go over the ground rules? Does something ever come up? You're there every day.
Well, you know, there's really not a lot of time for questions because it takes the umpires a full 5 minutes to go over our ground rules here. You know, some parks are very simple. You know, there's no nooks and crannies, and there's everything's just basically over the wall. But we have a few things in this park that make it beautiful and make it unique, and you have to discuss. As I said, the green tin roof in right field, if it hits that, that's a home run.
Right.
You know, the cars in the wall in left field,
so
that's
what happens
part
there?
Of the wall.
Yeah, what happened? Oh, that's part of the wall.
That's
okay.
Part of the wall. So it just takes a little bit of time in the bullpen in right field. You know, you always go over that in every ballpark, the bullpens. If the ball goes in, are you going to play it? You know, if it disappears, you kill the ball, and that's the end of it. But those types of things, and typically managers don't have too many questions when they come in because they've been here before.
All right. You know, you got a lot of heckling here. You know that Mark Gardner just walked by.
I see Gardner walking by. You ought to bring him in.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll grab him.
We need to grab him. He's never a loss for words.
No, he's terrific.
He's good.
All right, so that inning, so Blanco hits it. And it disappears. Now, this is John brought this up on the post game last night, and I think it's a valid point. Typical ground rule double, you know, two bases and everybody goes to their spot. When it's fan interference, the umpires have to decide where this play would have ended up. And John brought up the point, on a ground rule double, why not do that as well? Because those ground rule doubles, people are running like crazy, and you can sort of figure out where they're going to go. How do you stand on that?
Yeah, well, it's a good point. I think it's going to make the umpire's job more difficult is probably why they don't do it. Typically, I would say 90% of the balls that bounce into the stands usually would have been a double, a ground rule double. So there's a small percentage that would be triple. So, you know, I don't have a problem with them sticking with that. But the fan interference and the judgment call does make it extremely difficult. And over the years, I've seen all kinds of decisions made on the umpires to judgment on a fan interference play, awarding the guy, you know, second base or third base. And, you know, quite frankly, in that ball last night, that's minimum a triple for Blanco. So they awarded him second in the end. And, you know, in my judgment, That's a triple easy, possibly an inside the park home run.
I thought so. Of course, he wants one. You know, you talk to Blanco, he wants one.
Sure.
And Flannery, you know,
he's
Flannery's
for it.
Yeah, no, he's going to chase him down the line and make it happen. But yeah, to send him back to second base, 421 up the wall with him running, I just didn't get that.
Yeah, and it wasn't a line drive either. It was a high fly ball, one of those high balls that bounces up in that corner. And then when you get that type of bounce up the wall, that's more time. I mean, that ball's in the air. It doesn't hit and just fall on the ground. So, yeah, I think he would add a legitimate shot, depending how quickly Stanton got to the ball, whether it bounced at his feet or not. A definite triple possible inside the park home run.
All right, Zito. He lays down the bunt. And was that safety or suicide?
That was a safety squeeze.
All right. Now, what is the runner supposed to do on the safety squeeze? Because Zito didn't get it out that far.
Right.
He's an outstanding bunter. Go through why you did that and how Perez reacted. Because he was out at the plate. Now, I want to talk about his slide in a second.
First of all, you know, they defended it outstanding. I have to tip my hat to the pitcher who made a great play, got to the ball quickly, and shoveled it into Mathis, who did a nice job of blocking the plate and keeping Perez off the plate. But as far as the runner goes down there at third, you know, he's trying to get the best jump he can possibly get and read the ball down. So you're waiting for the ball to be bunted down and reading the bunt, and you're trying to get the best jump you can. And it all depends where the third baseman is. The third baseman's real close to third base. It limits your jump. If he's off the line, you can get a little bit better. But you want to anticipate that play. And, like you said, Z didn't get quite out far enough, and they had a chance for him at home plate.
Yeah. I want to talk sliding with you. You know, I talked about this on the pregame with John yesterday. Pete Rose went head first. Ricky Henderson did it for a while and then figured out, don't do it this way, you can get hurt. Maury Wills, the worst thing that ever happened to him, he got a strawberry. And for people who don't know what that is, it's sort of an abrasion on your hip when you slide in there. Everybody today, not everybody, but so many people are going in head first. And here's Perez going. Didn't he go in head first to the plate?
Yeah, he did.
Come on. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. The first person I think of, you know, when you talk about head first sliding, is Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle.
Right.
And, you know, I know he wasn't the first one to do it, obviously, but, it, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, and, you know, a lot of guys did it. A lot of guys mimicked him because you're hustling. You know, you're giving everything you can. I think that still holds true today when you see guys diving in the first base or going head first. It's definitely the dive in the first base. I think they feel that they're giving everything they can to get to the base, and it's kind of a instinctive thing that, you know, I'm going to get there. Now, you had just mentioned sliding in the home. You know, that really is head first is a no-no. I think, you know, from day one when I played, when I got to spring training, and to this day when we're at spring training, every coach will tell the base runners, you don't slide head first in the home plate. You're very vulnerable. I mean, the catcher has a chance to drop a knee on you. He's going to keep you off the plate. But sometimes, you know, the catcher's in front of the plate. The players see the back corner of the base, and they feel that they can dive and reach their hand out and, you know, kind of avoid the tag to sneak in there. You know, years ago, a lot of guys would hook slide, and that's exactly non-existent, right? You don't see the hook slide. So I think it's this way the players, they don't have the hook slide in their repertoire, and they try to dive and just avoid the tag and touch the corner of the base. And I think, you know, that happens on particular bases when they're diving head first as well.
You know, because the fielder, and you're an infielder, first of all, you put your leg down.
Right.
And you stop a runner from getting in there. Sandoval does it all the time.
Right.
You go in feet first, and you're not going to be able to do that because you're getting spiked.
Exactly. Well, two things, yeah. When a guy goes in head first, you can drop the knee. Even on a pickoff at second base, they come in head
first. Well, look at Crawford.
You can drop the knee, yeah. And at home plate, you know, if the catcher's there, shoot, you know, these guys that are diving, they have to see a piece of the plate to do that, and the catcher has to be in front, because you're taught to go right through with shin guards. Feet first, kind of knock right through his shin guards. You're not going to hurt him, and kick that foot off so your foot, your lead foot, can get through the base. And the other common one that you see today, obviously, is diving into first base.
I know.
And
does it help?
No. I think it's been proven. I think Buck Showalter, of all people, did a study years ago and tried to prove it to his guys that it wasn't any quicker, but it goes on. And again, when I played, what you talk about now is the only time you dive into first base is to avoid a tag, which... You like to see more of that. The first baseman is pulled off the bag, and the guys run right into the tag instead of getting low or sliding or diving to avoid that tag, so they're safe.
You know, Ron Wood is here. I've been thinking about this, the sliding thing, this week after I saw Crawford. You know, his head got jammed, his fingers got jammed going into second base. Willie McCovey, John brought this up, and I talked to Willie McCovey last afternoon about it, and John had this great memory of Willie McCovey hook sliding into the plate and getting in there. And I talked to Willie about it. He says, yeah, we did this all the time because we practiced it in spring training. My question to you run spring training. Do you do sliding drills in spring training?
Yeah, well, we
Where?
Do.
Where do you do them? Well, I don't know if you've ever seen them.
That brings up an interesting, but the game has changed quite a bit.
Well, you got to slide.
Well, you have to slide. But if you really think about it now, the money is so big in the game. And, you know, you get these guys into spring training, and we go through the exercise. But when we do it, you're holding your breath that nobody gets injured. Now, you know, the guys haven't played all year. You want to slide them at least once before you play your first game.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, I mean, what do these guys do? Go through Little League, high school, Babe Ruth, and college ball, and go in standing up their whole life? They know how to slide. It's an instinctive thing. Mm-hmm. But you do go through the exercise, but you're worried about guys getting hurt. And everybody doesn't slide. Why are you going to have your, you know, one of your valuable receivers with relievers with a bad knee go ahead and give him his token slide? First of all, he's not going to be on the base. But we go through it. We do it. And years ago, you know, they did do it a lot more. And you know, they had those sliding pits.
You said you took the words right out of my mouth. Ricky started in Vero Beach, a sliding pit with sawdust.
Well, when I first started, you know, we were sliding on – we had sliding pits at Pirate City when I came up. But then I started coaching, and we're sliding on the pads that give, and it's a little – you know, you slide on the pad. Well, I don't remember the year – but Jack Hyatt said, we're going to go back. We're going to try to do something, you know, go back to the sliding pit. So they built a sliding pit. They, you know, they dug out the ground. They filled it with sawdust over at Indian Bend, not Scottsdale Stadium.
Indian School.
Yeah. So we all go over there, and I think Levon Hernandez was the first one to slide, the pitcher. And he took off, and we're all standing around. He jumped in to do his slide, and poof. He didn't slide. He just stuck in the sawdust. The sawdust went everywhere. It was like a cartoon, you know, when Bugs Bunny is running through something. The sawdust went everywhere, and there was no sawdust. That was the end of the sliding pit. We didn't do it again. So, you know, you're right. They probably did it a lot more in the past. And the hook slide is something valuable, but it's not taught today.
Hook slide.
It's not
taught. I could do the hook slide. And I'll tell you another reason I like the hook slide, because you can watch the fielder. And you can figure out where you have to go around the bag. Now, you go in face first. There's a moment you have to dive, and your eyes can't be open. You know, at some point, you have to close your eyes. But the hook slide, you could decide at the last second where the fielder is and where the ball is.
Well, it's somewhat of a lost art, the hook slide. And, you know, back when I played, they wanted us to slide on both sides.
Yeah.
So you could hook slide. And somewhere along the way, it evolved to, hey, we don't want to hurt the player. Just be proficient on sliding on one side. And, you know, go in on that side of the base. So that is what happened. But I will say this in defense of the head first slide, not into home, not into first to get there quicker, but into other bases at times. You know, how many times have you seen a guy, you know, has, you know, the infielder's in front of the base and he's got that back corner of the base and he goes in with his hands and the guy comes back with the tan and he moves his hand and he puts his other hand on the base.
Yeah.
You can't avoid a tag.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the reason you should do it, but once in a while you see a guy, where they're coming back on a pickoff, be able to avoid the tag by moving their hands.
Boy, all right, Sunday morning baseball. This is what we do. It's great. I think you nailed it, and I'd love to see more of the hook slide and a regular slide. One last thought on it before we move on. John, also in the talk back yesterday, said about Campy Campaneris. He went on a pickoff at first. He went back in feet first because he didn't want to hurt his hands at any time.
Yeah, well, you know what? Nothing wrong with that. You see some guys, you don't see them do it today, but there were more than a couple guys that would do that in the past. And, you know, the only thing that I've seen taught in my career is going back, standing up to the front part of first base.
Okay.
Typically, you go to the back part of first base, and you twist away from the first baseman and his tag when you go in standing up. Well, I remember the Brewers used to teach it. We were in double A and A ball, and we had the darndest time with them because they would come back on the front part of the base with their right foot and hit. Now the first baseman has a hard time catching the ball and almost blocking the first baseman off of the base. And it's a violent move. Throws were missed, and the runner has the right to the base and catches the first baseman's off guard, and they didn't make all the catch, especially if the throw is up the line a little bit.
Wow.
So that was taught. I know the Brewers used to do that in the minor leagues.
Well, I love baseball. I love the game. We think people just show up and just watch the game. No. There's a lot going on in the game of baseball. Base running. And, you know, I watched the last few days, and there's Alex Pavlovich. He's going to come in here next. We're going to talk with Alex.
Oh, good.
Base running. And yesterday, for some reason, I said, look, you're playing tight games at home. You know, this is AT&T Park. You got to score your runs. You're not hitting any home runs, which we know that. But at this park, you can't give away outs.
Right.
And Blanco in the first inning. He's on second, sort of a medium line drive to center field. He takes off. Perez gets picked off.
Right.
Noonan's lucky he didn't get hung up when Turner threw the ball away. Do you guys deal with this, and how do you deal with it in situations like that? Or is it just something you say, these guys are big leaguers, they know what they're doing?
No, of course we deal with it. I mean, it's something that is at the forefront of what we do, and the base running coaches, you know, they pull their hair out when things happen. But, you know, a couple of points need to be made. You know, the first one is, I don't know if you realize that we had the biggest moon we had all year last night.
Yeah, we saw it.
So I don't know if that affected any
you're
of the
starting to sound
running.
Like Andrea.
Yeah,
you're starting to sound like the astrologer now.
I lock her next to Flan, and Flan and I discuss this on a regular basis. So, but seriously, I think some of that comes from trying to do too much. And if it's almost, you know, you talk about the ebb and flow of the season and how long the season is. You know, throughout the course of the season, you know, guys are going to go in slumps. They're going to be hot. They're going to make errors. They're going to make mistakes. And a lot of these mistakes sometimes, you know, unfortunately, are made by trying to do too much. Yeah. You know, you're struggling to score runs. And it's a catch-22 sometimes. You want to be aggressive. You want to take chances with good judgment. And sometimes you end up forcing things and out of your desire to try to win and to do more. And, you know, that happens when you're not scoring runs. And I'm not saying that's the case in these particular plays. Sometimes it's just going to happen. Look, I remember when I played, and you try to forget them, but there was two or three bonehead things that I've done in my career that I said to myself, you know, you pride yourself on being a heads-up and smart player. But this game will humble you. Somewhere along the line, as you play as many games as you do, you make some bad reads and you make some mistakes, and that's the reality of it.
Bullpen, is it just on fumes right now? I know you guys have to mix and match, and there's no recipe yet. Romo did come in yesterday. I liked it in the eighth inning. Affeldt got his two outs. Stanton came up. Bang, Romo was in. Boy, there's a recipe to get it done. You've won two world titles getting it done. What's going on now?
Well, you know, the recipe is dictated by your personnel and how they're pitching. And, you know, look, right now I think a lot of these guys obviously are beat up. They've thrown an awful lot. And, you know, it's catching up with them a little bit. You know, the perfect scenario, we have some people out. You know, if the starters don't go deep, guys are overused. And, you know, we don't have Cassia. And some of the other guys that we have down there right now, you know, haven't been in that role. And I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, guys get pushed into different roles, and they're not familiar with him, or they're not in that role for a reason. So, you know, we got it done last night. You saw Boach brought Romo in.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was the first time, maybe the second time all year, where he came in the eighth inning with the game on the line and gave us a few more outs. You know, we needed to win that game, yeah. And he was fresh. So the recipe is, you know Lopez, how he's going to pitch Affelt, and I think we'd like to use Machi but you know, Rosario was in the mix last night, yeah. Because we play so many close games, and they're all going to have to be available. It's, you know, we're not down by a few runs. It's either tied or we're up by one run, and these guys are going to get an opportunity. So hopefully somebody will grab the bull by the horns and get themselves a new role.
Yeah, get it. Well, you don't have Godin in there.
Exactly.
And Katos is gone. So
yes.
those are two important pieces, at least in the big part of the season. Ron Wotus with us. Barry Zito yesterday, an amazing effort for him, and just on a personal level. And then the other personal note for me is Hunter Pence. And, you know, I said this. Remember, we talked in February. I said, man, this guy goes 100 miles an hour and never stops. Somewhat unorthodox, but made a heck of a catch in the 11th inning. So those two, the veterans, stepped up yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what you want from your veterans. And, you know, Hunter's catch certainly saved the game. At that point in time, we would have had three outs to try to tie the game, but yeah. They would have scored right there. And so that was a great catch, great, you know, position. He was in close, and Roberto brought him in, Roberto Kelly, and he was in position to make that catch, and he made a great catch. And, of course, Z, I mean, what can you say? I mean, you know, life is bigger than baseball, and you know, anybody that's lost a parent knows how emotional and how life-changing that can be sometimes. I mean, I know when I lost my dad, there's a lot of things that you reflect on, and for him to go out and pitch the way he did, I think everybody was pulling for him to have a good day and to pitch well, and he certainly did.
Well, all right, Marlins today, they're a tough team for you. Nine yeah. straight here. It's almost unbelievable, but you know something? There's young players, and they get it done, and they haven't made a lot of mistakes. They made a couple yesterday.
Yeah, you know, they pitch.
They pitch.
They have some pitchers. This guy throwing today throws 95.
Throws 100.
90, I know, 100 miles an hour.
Now, you saw him last year, Evaldi, yeah. And you knocked him around pretty good with the Dodgers, but I was looking him up, 99, 100. I did not realize that.
Yeah, well, great arm, and he's still young. He's still green. Yeah. You know, he throws all four pitches, and a guy like this, when he puts it together, and you know, his command gets better, and he puts things together with that type of philosophy, he can be extremely tough. And you know, who knows? If he's on today, he's going to be a tough nut to crack. So they have arms over there. They pitch extremely well. They have athleticism.
Yeah.
And as you said, they're not beating themselves.
Right.
So, you know, you keep the game close, and we've played close games with them all three games. It's anybody's ball game.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting. Hey, well, thanks so much. Next time we talk, well, you know, you just refreshed my memory a few days ago. The All-Star game is coming up.
Yeah.
You guys are going.
Yeah, we're going.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be back in New York, right?
New York. It's at Citi Field. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big deal for you going back home and the family and all that. So next time we chat, I want to talk about the All-Star game. It's creeping up on me.
It's not far off.
And the staff is going again.
Yeah, we sure are.
Which is good.
Yeah, we're. Hey.
That's a good thing.
I'd like to go next year as well.
Really? All right. Well, thanks so much. Have a good day.
All right, Marty. My pleasure.
All right. That is Ron Wotus, the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants. Always a pleasure on Sunday morning. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the Sports Leader.